Day one. Who are you? Who? I know that wasn't a very good rendition. I'm off key, but you get the joke, don't you? Who are you? And John replied to those sent from Jerusalem to find out, who do you think you are? What are you doing all these baptisms? I am not the one. That was day one of this creation account. Day two, John's introduction. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Here he is. He's the one. Day three, John's inspires inquiry. Behold the Lamb of God. His disciples said, Teacher, where are you staying? I've often wondered, why did they ask where he was staying? Why didn't they ask, what do you want to teach us about? But where are you staying? Well, come and see, was his response. And they came and saw, spent the rest of the day with him. Day four, Jesus makes an invitation. Follow me. And then day seven, which is the 3 days hence, after accompanying Jesus to Galilee, the disciples, his new followers, attend a wedding. So what's number seven mean? Well, if you read your Genesis account, the first chapter, actually it's partly in the second chapter, as I said, on the seventh day, God rested. You know, that did not mean that on the seventh day, God took a nap. Instead, it means that something was beginning. On the seventh day, God began to reign over his creation. And how does that fit to Jesus? His first sign, a brand new beginning. That sounds McKinnon. Beginning on the earth. This is a brand new beginning is taking place. Just like on the day of creation, a new creation, something new is happening. The third day, well, that's the day of resurrection. Jesus rose on the third day. And that's the beginning of celebration. Do you know that they will celebrate in heaven? I think they call it the marriage feast or marriage supper of the Lamb. It's in the book of the Revelation. And I want you to know something. On this third day, heaven was watching in anticipation of an oncoming celebration. Something new was happening. But this celebration on earth, as we've already discussed, it had a glitch. They ran out of wine. You know, they could have run out of bread just as easily. And we know that Jesus could have solved that problem too, couldn't he? But whether it was poor planning, social failure, or just plain human incompetence, they had no more wine. The best we can do, quite often, ends in a bit of failure. But Mary knew where to go, didn't she? She went to the source. And again, he said, as I said before, not my hour. The glory of his resurrection began with him taking the throne upon the cross. That's where Jesus was glorified. He was glorified. He was declared victor. He won the victory. His death, burial, and resurrection. The great victory over the power of sin, the power of the death, and the power of the devil, all won. He began to reign in his glory. That was his hour. And Jesus had not yet prayed through this ministry, so he didn't exactly know how that was going to take place. I'm often think about Pastor McKinnon. I'm going to channel Pastor McKinnon now. I remember him doing this. Does anybody remember this? His nose ran just as bad as mine does. And he could so discreetly rub it off. I used to watch him and say, man, he's got a talent there. I want to take it out and honk on it, but that would be just totally awful, wouldn't it? These viruses that are flying around. But Pastor McKinnon knew about praying through a ministry. I'm not entirely sure, but I think it was 2 weeks. He was married to RPM, Ruby Pauline McKinnon. She got the anachronism by, honestly, she was a house on fire, ready to fly. And wow, they're in Tortola. They're on the mission field. They have opportunity before them on all sides. Ruby says, let's get going. Pastor McKinnon says, let us pray. And he prayed. And he prayed. I think it was for 2 weeks. And then he said, okay, now we can get going. He had to pray through that ministry. And Jesus had to do the same thing. He didn't know exactly what was going on in his life. He didn't know where things were going to go. He had a vague idea. Everything was being revealed to him by the Father through his ministry. And then that great day came. Oh, the glory of God. Oh, but let's... Oh, I better get back on track here. Good old Mary. Let's get back to her. She used these words. Do whatever he says. And you know what? That is really good advice, isn't it? Now, those six ceremonial pots were sitting there for washing hands. You know, you wouldn't put the best water you had in pots that were going to be used for washing hands, would you? Remember, we're talking about Israel. It's dry. Water is a precious commodity. So they didn't put the best water in there. They probably used cistern water at best. And it'd been used for washing hands. The wedding had been going for a little while. It was dirty. It was, or as we would say a more sophisticated word, it had been fouled. And it was not at all for drinking, was it? But what is six? I've talked about seven. I've talked about three. Now I'm going to talk about six. Six is the number of man in his unregenerated or natural state. And Jesus gives this simple instruction. Fill the water pots. And water was poured into them right to the brim. Draw and take some of the water to the master. And he commanded, you have saved the best until now. The best had arrived. About 400 bottles of wine for that small wedding. I think Jesus took care of their wine needs for the better part of a year, didn't he? I find the arrangement of this literary device so intriguing and so very interesting. Consider it this way. I'm going to have to read because I want to be careful I get this right. Refreshing abundance is pictured flowing out of a natural man touched by the master's hand. We hear the same thing in John 7. Out of your being will flow rivers of life-giving or living waters. When the Spirit is given, after Jesus has been glorified. Now, John, as I said, has emphasized this was Jesus' first sign. In it, Jesus reveals his glory. What's that mean? His presence and character. Jesus was in the room, the manifest Son of God upon the earth. There was his presence. He carried a reality of his being that no human could. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, the hail the incarnate deity. He was special. And he also revealed the glory of God in his creative power. enriching creation and changing lives, Jesus had done something. He turned water into wine, but Jesus can do far more than just doing water into wine. And Jesus, in this picture, is identified as God in glory. Praise God. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So to read the verse in context, because I've got the verse embedded in here. Jesus revealed his glory, and they put their faith in him, which of course is the proper believer's response. Put your faith in him. Oop. I almost got my pages mixed up. That was scary. But that's not the end of the story, is it? Let me get to here. Let's read what John says. What Jesus did here in Cana of Galilee was the first of his signs, through which he revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. But I wanted to connect this to the end of the story. This chapter has a great unification. In the middle, there's something, but then they got this end piece. It starts in verse 23. Let me read it for you. It's a funny story. This is my third edition NIV. My first edition NIV is back there. It's an old one. Actually, it belonged to Bella Beverly. It's now mine. June gave it to me. But there's a difference between the first and third edition of the NIV. And I think the third edition reads just a little bit better. Just slightly. So I like it. So I had to go home and get it.